Proverbs 16 and Proverbs 20. Proverbs 16, first of all. And in Proverbs 16:31, it says, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." So it's talking about the old gray head. Amen. Look in Proverbs 20 and down in verse 29. "The glory of young men is their strength. The beauty of old men is the gray head." Let's bow our heads there and have a word of prayer. Now, Lord, we are grateful to be able to gather tonight. And, Lord, it's a pleasure to be able to have the means to be able to send and help in a substantial way, Lord, missionaries that are trying to be a stopgap for a real mess that somebody else made. So we pray that you'll bless as we've done that, and direct us if we need to do more or something different, and we are grateful for the chance. We come to you tonight, Lord, and think about Ian and Rachel leaving tomorrow, and then David and Cassie getting ready later in the month. I know that Mark and Lori are itching to go as well, so I pray that you might forward their progress in that way as well. We come tonight, ask once again that you'd bless the Word of God to be preached, and Father, may the thoughts be clear, and may you say what you want to say through me. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so two verses on the hoary head, that is, excuse me, old age. Now, what are you laughing for? Because I just turned 61. That's not old, right? I mean, me and Dave are the same age, so. Oh, well, it's essentially the same. It's okay, come on over here, it's fine. The thing is that America has a youth fixation, and this is not an old man griping about it. I'm just saying that for a long time, people have been obsessed with being young or looking young, and so every newfangled breakthrough, every hack that comes along that says some special juice that you drink will help you lose the cellulite on your legs or your hips or wherever you got it or whatever, you know, he becomes a millionaire almost instantly. Of course, there's always the 3.5 pounds of mascara that some paint on, and a little paint on the barn door is a good thing, but too much is just too much. So we're talking here about, you know, folks trying to look young, and the news flash is that if you're getting up in years and you're starting to get a little gelatinous, yoga pants don't help. And I know, I mean, I'm saying, anyway, yoga pants don't help. So just so you know, it's just for the record. Now, the idea is that everybody who's 14, everybody wants to look 20 or 20, 22. The 14-year-old male wants the stature and the musculature of a 22-year-old, and it's not time yet. And 14-year-old girl wants the statuesque, you know, model's body, which there aren't many of those around, of somebody that's 22. And, of course, then somebody turns 40 and they look back and they still want the body of the 20-year-old or the 22-year-old. So everybody's striving to look 22. And guess what? It just doesn't work out too well in general. Amen? So I want to, you know, the idea is that's man's perspective. And there's a whole spiritual perspective with it. And the Bible paints an entirely different picture than what men strive for. And when you look in the Bible, there's just a whole, you know, there's just a whole different take on this whole matter. You know, you read about, I read about the folks that, those Pharisees that were trying to trap that woman caught in adultery in John 8. And among other things that happened, as you know, Jesus just bent down and wrote on the ground. I have some ideas of maybe what he might have written. Whatever he wrote convicted those men enough that the old man gradually just faded back. And the young studs were left standing around going, oh yeah, like that. But the old guys had sense enough, even wicked old men, lost guys, had the wisdom to kind of fade back into the back and kind of fade out of the picture because they knew they were getting it taken to them. Now, I want to preach tonight on what growing old should instill, what growing older properly should instill. And I don't preach it for me and Dave and Bryce's sake. And Jeff, you're in there too, by the way. I'm not preaching it for our sake. If you look around, you have a bunch of 30 and 35-year-olds in here that used to be kids. And if you're 30 years old, you're on a grease slide to middle age. And so it ought to be, you know, you shouldn't be looking at me when I'm preaching about old age. You should be looking at you when I'm preaching about growing older. And I'd like to talk for a little while about what growing older should instill. And this is something the world really direly needs. First of all, let me take you to Job. Job chapter 32, for starters. Job 32. Job 32. Now, Elihu is about to step up to the plate and deliver some words to Job, who's been talking a lot, and to the three friends that have been talking a lot. And so it starts in verse 4. Now, Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid to and durst not show you mine opinion. I said, days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Now he said back in verse 6, he said, I am young and ye are very old. So these guys were not just 50 years old. Job's three friends anyway. I mean, Job wound up, if it wasn't a resurrection, Job wound up building a whole new family. So maybe he wasn't as old as those other guys were. But these guys were said to be very old. Now, I want to just show you there, and let me just take you back one more to one more place in Job, Job 15. Job 15, verse 10. And again, there should be some things that just growing older. I'm not talking about you have to be 50. I'm not talking about you have to be 60, but just as you pass from 25 to 28 to 30 to 33 to 37, There should be some things that you pick up along the way. There should be some lessons that growing older instills. Job 15:10. Not sure what I said before, but Job 15:10. With us, and these are the three friends of Job who gave him such a hard time, really persecuted him almost. With us are both the gray-headed and the very aged men, much elder than thy father. So exactly how old Job was, we don't know. We don't know exactly how old these guys were, but twice it said, you know, they were very old and very aged. Okay, I just want to say in all that Elihu was younger. And so he stepped aside and let him speak. He was younger, and in this case, and it's not all that often that it's the case, the younger man was right. And the older men were wrong. Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar, they were all way off track. And it was Elihu, I mean, the Lord almost quoted Elihu's words in a couple of cases after Elihu's done speaking. So it was the Elihu that had the right balance on things and all that. Now, Elihu was right. He was young. Most young people think they're right. Old folks, of course, are senile and out of touch and all those sort of things. And I get it, and I understand why they say that. Elihu was right, though, because he knew God. Elihu was right because, the other three were blowing smoke, whereas he had a real touch with God, and so he was right and they were wrong. The young are at least 100 times more likely to be wrong than the old guy, all given the same ground. And so what I want to say is this. What Elihu imparted to those three guys, and really what Elihu probably imparted to Job, since God virtually quoted Elihu a couple of times, was that, you know, one thing that growing older should instill is the sure knowledge that you can still play the fool. Those three men danced around the truth, and I don't read where they said anything horrifically egregious, but they certainly did not strike the nail on the head. And by the time it's all said and done, Job had to make a sacrifice for those guys to save their lives. And I'm simply saying that one thing that growing older should instill in somebody is the sure knowledge that you can still play the fool. You know, when it comes to Solomon, the wisest man to ever live outside of Jesus Christ, I suppose, Bible says of him that when he was old, 1 Kings 11:4, you don't have to go there. It said, though, that when he was old, his wives, which he had started gathering, of course, when he was young, those wives turned away his heart, so that his heart was no longer perfect, and that happened in his old age. By the time it's said and done, Solomon learned the lesson that you can still play the fool when you're old. And so I just want to say that that much is the case. You never really graduate from the school of foolishness. I've known many an older guy that just made a mess of stuff, and we always worry about the young guys that are going to go out or the young women that are going to go out and make a mess of stuff, but it's not all that unusual for 50 and 60 and 70-year-old men and women to make a mess of things. If there's one thing that's certain, we're all sinners. The Bible says that man's problem is this: the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart, I'm not sure if I can finish it, his heart something fretteth against the Lord. All right? Now, that's the way man is. That's man's Achilles heel. And the fact is that you are never too old to play the fool. And one thing that was proven by this was that these three guys, as wise as they were, as old as they were, and as much as they thought they knew God, they still played the fool. I don't know where you are in your life, but I've learned for myself. There were things that I thought I would outgrow. And maybe in some measure I kind of did, but I still find the things that bothered me when I was 25 lurk just around the corner, and I can still, if left to myself, play the fool in those things, and I'm 60 plus years old now. You say, what's the point? One point that I would have you learn is that in growing older, it should instill in you still that you can still make a mess. You can still botch things up so bad that they're irreparable outside of a miracle. And that's kind of what happened. That's kind of what happened with those three friends. You never graduate from the school of foolishness. You never quite arrive to that, because, again, the rule is the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. There's just a part in every one of us that just doesn't like being under the umbrella of God's power and authority. And every one of us here are more than capable of making a mess. I don't care if you are 85 years old. And that's not, well, I'm glad Bryce isn't here, but I would say it with if he was here. Anyway, folks, a man that knows his weakness is 10 times better than a man who knows only his strengths. And if you can walk the rest of your life knowing that I can get up today and ruin everything. I have the capability of getting up today and in sin and iniquity, transgression, and pride, I can ruin everything. You would be wise. You would be wise. I want to say that one thing that growing older should instill is the sure knowledge that really human nature doesn't get better. You may sanctify the new man and put off the old man more. You should labor to do that. But that old man rises up every morning. He is perfectly willing to allow you, I mean, to move you to mess things up entirely. So I want to say, first of all, that one thing that growing older instills, should instill, is the knowledge that you can play the fool. I want to say, secondly, take your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, since I kind of folded Solomon into that. Let me mention this. And really, again, I'm preaching to me and I'm preaching to, you know, older folks here. But this is, I'm trying to make this so that everybody that's 30 and 32 knows full well that you're growing older, and you, it was only 15 years ago that you were a kid, but you're not a kid anymore. And now you're sliding into middle age, and life is short. It really is. And life's too short to make some mistakes that people make. There's this. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and notice down in verse 13. Another passage on age. It says there, "Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king." I wonder who he's talking about. Wonder if he knows he's talking about himself. Did you ever read Ecclesiastes? There are some neat things that are said, but I mean, Solomon is in practice going off into la-la land and tempting the devil and the flesh and a little bit of everything else in Ecclesiastes. But he says, "Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished." If there's something that growing older should instill, it is the value of admonishment. This old and foolish king here, those are three words that are shameful together. Especially a man like Solomon who had acquired wisdom. And that just goes to show you that the wise aren't always righteous. It goes to show you that possessing all the wisdom in the world, you can still do wrong. And possessing all the wisdom in the world, you are still not beyond rebuke. You're still not beyond being admonished. He said that he will no longer be admonished. He wouldn't allow somebody to admonish him and take it. That ought not be the case with me and you. I've learned this in my life, and I enjoyed preaching after I got right with the Lord and was young, and I enjoyed, you know, having it taken to me, and I appreciated it, and I just want to say I've never ceased to appreciate it. In fact, I appreciate it more now than then. The average 40-year-old guy, just take the average 40 or 45-year-old guy in the world, just a lost guy, who has the right? I mean, who does he allow to take him to the side on a regular basis, stick his finger in his face, and tell him that he's wicked as hell? Usually nobody. His wife may try. I was going to say that. But usually he just divorces her. Fact of the matter is that most 45-year-old guys in the world have nobody to do that with. That ought not be our excuse. One of the things that I appreciate is that when I was 35 and 45 and 55 and now all the way up to now, I still value going in and sitting down and having somebody stick their finger in my face and tell me the truth about myself from what the Bible says. That's why I get a little tired of some guys that it's just all they can do to stay in church. For some reason, they can go to work every day. When bass season opens up, they are on the lake every Saturday. But boy, when it comes to being in church, they will hit and miss it as often as not. You know why? Because a lot of times, they do not like to be admonished. At 45 and 50, they think they're beyond being corrected, that they're beyond being rebuked, and they're not. I want to just say that's one of the most valuable things that I have in my life, to be able to go occasionally to a blowout or somewhere where somebody stands up and preaches, or for that matter here, when a guy comes through or when one of our guys stands up, I enjoy it very much because they show me myself. And one thing that growing older should instill is the value of admonishment, the value of being reproved, the value of being rebuked. The reproofs of instruction are the way of life, Proverbs 6:23. I mean, the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. It should be the way you live, that you submit yourself on a regular basis, guys and ladies, to being bawled out from the pulpit. And if beyond the pulpit, just the Bible, and beyond the Bible, just Bible lessons, but to submit yourself on a regular basis to somebody scouring you and cleaning you up because you need it. That's one of the things that old age should instill. You never outgrow being reproved. There's this too, if you would. Look in 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings 12. All right, 1 Kings chapter 12. And Solomon has passed on and turned his throne over to Rehoboam. And the down spiral kind of begins here, as you well know. But in, let me see where I want to start here. 1 Kings chapter 12, we can go down to verse 5 or so, 5 or 6. And Rehoboam is seeking what direction he should take the kingdom after his father's passed away. And so he does a wise thing and then an unwise thing. The king and King Rehoboam, verse 6, consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived and said, "How do ye advise that I may answer this people?" The people want a break. They need to have some of the yoke of the taxation and some of the things that Solomon laid on them lessened. And so he says to these old guys, "How do you think that I may answer this people?" And these guys have been around Solomon his whole life. Verse 7, "And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words unto them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him." The young men, full of testosterone, vim, and vigor, stood up and said, no, man, pile it on them. I mean, stick it to them. They haven't given enough yet. And I just want to say that twice there it says that he forsook the old men's counsel. Let me find that other verse for you. Verse 13. "And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him." Now, you know what those old men were advising? Those old men were advising for Rehoboam to deal graciously with Solomon's people because Solomon hadn't dealt that graciously with them. And so I want to just say that I think anybody here knows that the choice that Rehoboam made in rejecting the old man's counsel for the new young men's counsel was a bad move. Those old men knew the wisdom of dealing with people in grace. Now, I know that there's a time that, you know, you have to come down hard. I know there's a time that, you know, there's a necessity for sharp words and all those things. But surely one thing that growing older instills in somebody is the knowledge that it's better to reach the heart of somebody than it is just to command them successfully. And one of the things that growing older should instill is the wisdom of dealing with people in grace. Now again, I know there are exceptional times at times, and you can't always do that. And again, I know that sometimes somebody needs the back of someone's hand, and sometimes they need punishment, sometimes they need the rod and all those things. But in the main, you know, I just learned that, you know, there's lots of young dads and young moms, and they already know how they're going to raise their family because they know everybody else's mistakes. And so, you know, they know that they're going to raise the perfect kids. And so, you know, they're pretty hard on the kids. And don't misunderstand, I know that today far too many people are way too easy on the kids. I believe in the rod. I believe in correction and all those things. But I also know that, you know, when I gradually realized that I wasn't going to raise perfect kids and that the answer to raising the kind of kids that I wanted them to be was not necessarily just with commanding and the rod, I realized that I had to somehow reach their hearts. And ladies and gentlemen, it would do you well to think about this with regard to your children, to your wife, to your husband, and to your brethren that it would be better for you to make a heart appeal and try to reach their heart rather than try to command them, manipulate them, force them. Everybody shouldn't be a drill sergeant. You don't find that to be the case really in the Word of God. And you don't find that most pastors that have real success as opposed to just shiny, showy stuff, you find that they don't do that either. One thing that growing older should instill is the wisdom of dealing with people and grace, if at all possible. You know, Marcy and I don't fight, but I learned real quick that, you know, I don't need a relationship with her where if she bucks me, I just get louder and more verbose and force this thing through. I learned that the way to get along with her is for her and I to reach out and to have a heart for each other and fix things that way rather than, woman, I'm the man and you better submit to me, bless God. That is not the answer. Not really. Right? Thank you very much then. Okay. One thing that growing older instills should be the fact that, or the wisdom of dealing with people in grace, if possible. I can say this too, look in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22:6, famous verse. Right, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that's not a promise that the young will never be swayed and get off track. And a lot of us learn that. In fact, I learned that in my own life. But it is a promise, and it's not like there are no exceptions to it, but it is a promise that if you train up the child in the way he should go, that when he's old, he will not depart from it. And you've seen some of that happen here at various times where, you know, somebody that was raised right and went prodigal for a while came home in time after having a little experience in life. Part of that was just getting older and realizing that there should have been a greater appreciation for God's way. Okay? Bring up a child in the way he should go. It's understood that that's God's way, right? Bring up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I want to say that one thing that growing older should instill is the appreciation for God's way. I was raised in a Christian home, and I was not all that well trained, I suppose. I mean, I knew to respect my elders. I knew to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. In fact, if I didn't, somebody would tear my ears off my head. So I was disciplined that way. But as far as being well trained as a Christian, I was not. Not at all. And so I got in the wrong path early. And gratefully, I guess I must have got old early, because that way sure got old to me. I surely was not happy. I surely had no joy. And so I came home. I came home as a prodigal, and the Father received me back. I just want to say that by the time I was 22 or 23, I had grown in an appreciation for the way of God as opposed to the way I had been living for the last 4 or 5 years. You say, what are you saying? Well, I'm saying that, you know, if there's one lesson that life teaches, it is that God's way is best. I mean, it really is. In God's way, there is usually long life. I don't mean that a Christian never dies young. I'm saying that in the main, you know, if you're not smoking, you're not likely, really, to die of lung cancer. And if you're not drinking, you're not likely to get cirrhosis of the liver. Now, you might for some other reason or whatever. The bottom line is, in the Lord's way, there's usually the promise of long life. There's a promise of eternal life. There is light in the darkness. There is hope when nobody else has any hope. There's joy even when things are tough. That's the Lord's way. Now, there's something else about the Lord's way I want you to see here. Look in Psalms 37. Let me fold this together. Psalms 37. Psalms 37. One thing that growing older should instill is an appreciation for God's way, for the way of the Lord. Look in Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He said, I have not seen the righteous forsaken. I've been living a long time, and I've seen a lot, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Okay, there's an appreciation for God's way. And God's way, if you can describe it in any one way, one word, it's righteous. Righteousness. And ladies and gentlemen, I mean, one thing that's true is that righteousness never gets old. Righteousness always pays good dividends. And one thing that growing older should instill is that you ought to seek righteousness. You can play the scout if you want, like I thought I was. I was going to go out and make my own way and cut my own swath and all that stuff. No, you're not. You're just going to make a mess and get buried in the swamp. You're not going to cut any new trails. You're going to go find you're going to go get buried in quicksand somewhere. It's just true. But growing older should instill that an appreciation for God's way, and God's way is always righteous. I want to say this too, since we're talking about that verse. Look once again in 37:25, since we're there. This is I'm in Psalms 37:25. Now I'm there. 37:25. Okay, once again. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I've not seen it, he says. I've been around for a long time. I've seen a lot. And I've not seen the righteous begging bread. I've not seen the righteous forsaken. All right, there's somebody right there who's old now. And he's had real experience in both life and faith. A lot of guys have had experience in life. A lot of DIs and dope heads and, you know, people in gangs and mafia dons have a lot of experience in life, but they don't have much experience in faith. Somebody that's walked with the Lord for a long time has real experience in both life and faith. Let me take you to another verse, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 real quick. And all of this is just to say that one thing that growing older should instill is real experience in life and faith. And that experience is then to be translated and learned from as it relates to the Word of God. It's not that many people that have that kind of wisdom. I'm sorry, you're usual best friend forever that you grew up in from grade school with, unless they're saved and dedicated, they don't have that kind of light. They don't have that kind of advice to give. And you know, you're sitting in a room full of people tonight who all of us ought to be developing that very thing, real experience in life and faith. And you don't know much when you're 17, believe it or not. And you don't know a lot more when you're 22 or 24. But by the time you start hitting 30 and 32, and then 37, 38, and 40 and 45, you start picking up a serious volume of real experience in life and faith as it relates to God, as it relates to the Bible. And pretty soon, you know, you don't just know lessons from classroom. You don't just know things because the preacher said it over and over again in church, but you've actually seen it work out there. I'm not talking about walking by sight and not by faith. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that by the time you've experienced it long enough, you know what works and what doesn't. You know what's real about the Christian life and what's not real. And in this case, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2, notice in Hebrews 11, 2, starting verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, that faith, the elders obtained a good report. By it, the elders, older guys, who are the elders? Well, Abraham received a good report in faith. He is the father of our faith. I don't know who all exactly it's talking about, but Moses had some lessons learned about faith. He lived to be, 120 years old. And so on those guys, by the time they closed out their lives, they had learned some stuff. They had had real experience in life with God, with the Bible, with truth, with error, with devils, with demons, with wicked brethren, with good brethren, with Lot, with his wife, etc., etc. Down the line, they had rubbed shoulders with the Sodomites before. They had learned some real life and faith experience. One thing that growing older should instill in you is that, but you'll need to be in the Bible all the time and reflecting the things that you learn from the Word of God, because without the comparison to the Word of God, you don't know where you're at. There's a ton of people out there that have a ton of experience. They were a drill sergeant. They went to the French Legionnaires. They fought in wars. You know, they were a circus performer. They've been 1,000 different things, a stockbroker, a realtor, and 1,000 other things. They've seen stuff and done stuff and all those things. And none of it relates to anything unless they have a Bible, unless they have the truth. And that's one thing that you have an opportunity to learn. You can start young. You can start really young. And you may not know a lot, you may not have a lot of experience, and you may not have a lot of the right kind of faith when you're 13 or 17, but you'll be picking up more pretty quick, and you're not going to be a wise old man at 25, but you might be a wise old man at 45, right? Because what growing older should instill is real life experience in life and faith. I'll just quote these to you. For instance, there's a reason why 1 Peter 5 says that the younger should submit themselves to the elder. It's not talking about the elder in the church in the sense of, you know, the position, the bishop. It's talking about just younger versus elder. It says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. It's talking about age there, not the church office. And the reason why that should be the case is because for somebody that's living and trying to walk with God for a long time, you know, they've experienced things that there's no way a 20-year-old knows anything about. There's no way a 20-year-old knows what a guy that's been saved for 30 years knows and he's 45. There's no way. And by the time somebody's 70, somebody ought to sit down and listen to that guy. And by the time somebody's 85, you know, somebody needs to sit down and listen to him. Because if he's been in the Bible all that time, he knows some stuff that you don't know. In fact, he may talk over your head still. But one thing that growing older should instill, is real experience in life and faith. I have a few more for you, and these will go pretty quick. So look in Psalm 71. I'm preaching two long sermons. I preached 10 points this morning, and I'll be preaching 9 tonight. So, tough apples. Psalm 71. Psalm 71, going down to verse 9. And he says in verse 9, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. He's praying to God. And he says, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth, for mine enemies speak against me. And they that wait for my soul take counsel together. And I want to say with that one thing that growing older should instill is dependence on God. I mean, it's not like you didn't need him when you were 15. But by the time you're 65 and 75, you need him more. Because you no longer have your strength to fall back on. You no longer have the kind of robust, almost indestructible health that you had when you were 18 and 19. Now, I just want to say that one thing that growing older should instill is the fact that you grow more and more every day to know not just how wicked you are and how you can still make a fool of yourself and make a mess of everything, but you know more and more daily that you are more and more gradually every day more dependent upon God for your health, for you keeping your mind, for understanding, for perceptions. You become more and more dependent on the Lord. That's what should happen as you get older. And by the time you start, you know, when you're 30 and 33, you know, you're at the prime of life, the perfect age, they say, and all that. But it goes downhill swiftly from there. And the simple point is that as you know, even in that strength, a lot of times guys learn real quick. They're nowhere near as strong as they thought they were. And it'll go downhill from there. And so your bones don't knit like they used to, and you start getting toothaches, and you start having, you know, you have pains, and you just can't jump as high as you used to, as if a Christian has to jump. But there's just things that you can't do like you used to do it. I know Brother Keck, you know, he's up in years now, over 80, and he just said, he says, it's not that an old man loses his want to, it's just that he can't do it for as long as he used to. He said, my problem is that it's not that I've lost any of my zeal. It's just that I can't stay at it for as long as I used to. And it's just age. And so one thing that growing older should instill is your dependence on God. Look on deeper into Psalm 71. Go down to verse 18. Next thing. Look what he says here. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. He said, Lord, don't forsake me until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Now, we get all kinds of goals in life and have all kinds of visions for all that we want to do. And sometimes it's in the ministry where you know, you want to go win the world and all those sort of things, and that's not realistic. But I tell you what, one thing that growing older should instill is a desire to fulfill the true purpose in life, which is to pass on knowledge that you now have to somebody coming up. And whether they're lost and you disciple them, or whether they're young in the Lord and you can help them along, the idea of passing on what is in verse 18, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. You think of what Dr. Ruckman, through all those years, the kind of stuff that he poured into men, really until the day he died. It's amazing to me that at 94 years old, there were young men still coming to school to sit and listen to him teach the Bible. At 94 years old, I mean, you're supposed to lose interest when somebody gets that old. But young men were still coming and listening to him preach at 94 years old. You say, well, what's the point? What was he doing? He was giving those guys something they couldn't get anywhere else. And it ought to show you that, you know, growing older in life, one thing that should come out of it is that it gets clearer and clearer to you that your purpose here is to give the light you've got to somebody else that's going to go on into the next generation, and from there on. We're supposed to pass it from ourselves to our kids, to our grandkids, and on down the line. One thing that growing older should instill is that you fulfill the true purpose in life, that you manage to affect somebody else's life and give them the real thing, and it ain't Coke of either variety. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel 12. And I'll be wrapping up soon. 1 Samuel chapter 12. I'd preached this a long time ago. It's been quite a few years. A lot of years. And I found a couple other things and refurbished a couple things. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And this is Samuel, and Samuel is grieved because the children of Israel have decided they want a king. And so he's grieved about it. And they came to him back in 1 Samuel 8 and said, look, you're a great prophet, but your sons aren't walking in your steps. And so we want a king. And so Samuel is grieved about it, and the Lord says, well, if you know they're rejecting me, they're not rejecting you, so we're going to give them a king. So they gave him Saul. Now, Samuel is still making an appeal to him, and notice in 12:1 real quick, and Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that you said unto me, and I have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old, there it is, and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. I mean, Samuel, as we were studying in 1 Samuel, since we started the other night, you know, I mean, he was there before him from his childhood. Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore you. And they said, thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, the Lord is witness against you, and is anointed as witness this day. Now, I just want you to see what happened there. He said, man, I am old. I have lived my entire life before you. And, you know, one thing, you look at that, and here's old Samuel. He's going to go die soon, and he's anointed Saul, and he still has to anoint David. There's still some time left and all those things. But that man, in spite of the fact that back in 1 Samuel 8, Israel, all of Israel knew that Samuel's sons were not doing right, they still looked him in the eye here and told him, you have done us no wrong at all. You know what growing older should instill? The value of an unassailable testimony. When Samuel said, and he named some stuff, he said, have I done anything against anybody? They said, you have not done anything against anybody. And they didn't even bring up the dirty, rotten boys, his sons that were not serving God. They didn't even blame him for that. They said, no, you have lived more or less spotlessly before us for this entire time. I just want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, it would be, I mean, I know what I am inside. I really do. I know I'm ashamed of some things if you learned about them. But, you know, the value of an unassailable testimony goes an awful long way. You know, you ought to keep ever before your eyes, no matter how young you are and no matter how old you are, that to wind up with a generation of people saying, we can't think of anything that we can hold against you, would be a great thing. And that testimony is something that is escaping this entire generation of Christians. I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about out there in the mega churches and the giga churches and all those other gobbledygook places. Nobody has much of a testimony anymore. They're not even trying. And you just don't know how much value there is to it. I have one last thing to say. Look over in Psalms 92. Psalms 92. Growing older should instill in you the knowledge that you can still play the fool. Don't kid yourself. Growing older should instill the value of admonishment. I'm talking about rebuke, reproof to you personally. Growing older should instill the wisdom of dealing in grace with people where it's at all possible. The appreciation for God's way, and God's way is always righteous. Real experience in life and faith as it relates to the Word of God. Dependence on God. Desire to fulfill the true purpose in life, which really boils down to you passing on what you've got. And I'm not talking about a buku of money. An unassailable testimony. And then there's this last thing. Psalm 92, and go down to verse 14. Let's start earlier. Verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Now this is twice today I've given you the permission to be fat. Because in the morning sermon, I said that you should be fat. But here, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Well, you can see there that somebody is in old age, but they are still flourishing. They're still fruitful. They're still healthy. They still have plenty. They're still greatly blessed. They are fat and flourishing. I'd like to say that one thing that, the last thing tonight anyway, that growing older should instill is the rewards of faithfulness and steadfastness. Neither of those things is particularly parade worthy. Nobody writes a movie about somebody that just plugs along. Nobody writes any movies about a guy that's just faithful without any flash, without any drama, who's just steadfast and just keeps plowing. Nobody writes a movie. There are no orchestral scores, played in the background of your life. But I'll tell you this, there is a great reward in being faithful for a lifetime and just being steadfast. And he said, that's what this is. He said, I tell you, he said, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. And you've seen some of that here in some of the older folks that have come and gone through years, some of them dead. But you also have seen other, of other men that have passed that have been faithful to the book. I just want to say one thing that you ought to learn as a 20-year-old and then as a 25-year-old and then 30 and 32 and 34 and 38 and 45 and so on and so forth is the rewards of staying faithful and steadfast. So the Lord can use you until the day you kick the bucket. Let's bow our heads and pray. And Father, I ask you to...